Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, heed that. I wanted to say once again, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to A Time for Justice. A Time for Justice is a show on the Elevated Places Network, and my name is Sister Pamela Muhammad, and I am the host. On this show, A Time for Justice, we discuss legal and current events in a roundtable discussion of legal minds. We discuss this country's centuries-long failure to apply, uphold, and enforce the laws, and the overall failure of the legal system to give justice, and the negative impacts these failures have had on Black people and their Black families. Ultimately, we want fair dealing. We want justice under the law, but all too often, this is not the actions that we see. Our guest tonight will not make those excuses for the racist conduct that really distracts from the truth. This is what we often see, a bunch of distractions. And we know that the truth is the path to justice and equal protection. So let's talk about just, fair, and equitable solutions, which are in the best interest of the people. Let's remove the distractions. And tonight, our show is entitled Law and Protecting the Black Female. That's right, Law and Protecting the Black Female. And again, my name is Sister Pamela Muhammad. I'm an attorney, and I am the host of A Time for Justice. And we're really, really excited about our show tonight because we have two wonderful sisters, two dynamic attorneys who are going to talk to us about the years of practicing law and what we see when we look at historical perspectives of the status of Black women in the law, historical perspectives from slavery, and really we can connect those dots, as they say, to show that that's really the root of what we're seeing today. Our people are suffering, our women are suffering, and we're going to talk about the legal system and the law, and ultimately we're going to talk about some solutions. So I want to bring on first Sister Sherry Muhammad. And Sister Sherry is an attorney in the Baltimore area. She's out of Baltimore. See, this is a national program. So I'm in Houston. I have another sister in New York, and just are so blessed to have attorneys from all over this country. So as I said, Sister Sherry is currently an EEO officer for the state of Maryland in the Department of Juvenile Services, where she has been for over 25 years of total legal experience, not necessarily at in the Department of Justice, but she's been a legal practitioner for over 25 years. And she's worked in diverse and varied history and law, ranging from college courses. She's been a teacher, adjunct professor at Baltimore City Community College. She enjoys giving back through volunteering and working in the community. She served as a mediator for volunteering with the courts and agencies such as the Maryland Volunteer Lawyer Services, and she also serves on the board of two nonprofits, the Baltimore Teacher Network and the Womb Work Productions, Inc. So that is our sister, Sherry Muhammad, and I'm going to go ahead and open up her mic. There's so much more I could say about this sister, but I'm going to let her talk about herself as well. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Sherry.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Pamela, and thank you. Wow,
you know, you never think of what you do until you hear somebody else talking about it. So thank you for that introduction. I'm really excited about this topic. It has been a topic that I have had an interest in actually ever since my law school days. I took a course called Race and Law. The professor was Michael Higginbotham, and he was the nephew to Judge Higginbotham of the Third Circuit. And though Higginbotham might sound like you think that it's somebody of a different nationality, it's a black man. And Judge Higginbotham of the Third Circuit did a lot of work in civil rights. So back in law school, while I was in the course called Race and the Law, I took a look at the myth of black sexuality. That is the myth of the promiscuous black woman and the myth of the stud black male. And ironically, it's been, this year makes 30 years since I finished law school, but that myth still persists. And as we delve into this topic this tonight, we will see how that myth, how the perpetuation of that myth affects the protection or lack thereof of black women and girls in this country. So I'm excited about the topic, and thank you, Sister Pamela, for having me on.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you. That was so heavy what you just said. I can't wait until we can delve into that. And so we're going to go ahead and open up Sister Judge Nichelle. And Sister Judge Nichelle is a person who's been on a couple times. She's always willing to come and share her wisdom and knowledge. Sister Judge Nichelle, she hails from the city of Mount Vernon, where she is the Mount Vernon City Court. She's the first Muslim and Latino judge in the city of Mount Vernon. Judge Nichelle, she is a proud mixed heritage of Puerto Rican as well as black, and she's practiced law for over 20 years, which includes 14 years of municipal defense, family, matrimonial, and criminal matters. Sister Nichelle is a mother. She is a wife. And she likes to say that she's the wife of her husband, Brother Arthur, and four daughters, and they all hail from the city of Mount Vernon. And I also have to say, Sister Sherry, I didn't mention that you also have a daughter, but, you know, we're moms, we're workers, we're lawyers. So let me go ahead and open up Sister Nichelle's mic and welcome her and thank her for coming on.
Sister yes, Nichelle. Ma'am. Can you hear me, Sister Pamela? Yes, ma'am.
I can hear you. Yes, ma'am. My
all
beloved sister, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam. I'm so happy to be here. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, in the names of Master Fahd Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the name of our Honorable Minister, the Divine Warner, and our intermediary today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet all of my sisters and brothers with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum.
Wow.
And I am happy. Yes, ma'am, I'm happy to be here. And yes, I have that girl power going on with four adult daughters at this point. And this is a wonderful topic that I'm going to share some information. I can tell you that in the state of New York, we've been doing a good job with legislation and recent things that have gone on in an effort to combat the sex trafficking, upon which 40% of those trafficked are black women. And so I will be happy to give a little report on what we've been doing here in the state of New York, as well as adding what I hope to be some spiritual context to everything, because nothing is anything without our spiritual context of who the black woman is and why it's so very important that we are protected in this hour, especially in all the time for that matter. But I'm so happy to be here, Sister Pamela. I thank you, and I'm looking forward to being on the panel and shedding some information and some wisdom given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on things we should be doing or could be doing and are doing to protect our babies and our sisters. Thank you so much for having me, Sister.
Yes, ma'am. All praises are due to Allah. That's that spirit. I love the spirit of the sisters, and we have a special guest that we're going to open up her mic in a few minutes. But I wanted to just throw out some points about how, as Sister said, you know, women do need protection. We need protection from, we see the racism where the police are attacking women. You know, as the sister said, you know, we raise up marriage and strong males to protect our women. Yes, we do push marriage and strong males and on a time for justice. You know, we talk about the law and how black women and black people have been characterized as property. We even talk about a little sex discrimination, because we see our sisters crying out about the pay gaps, the lower pay gaps, the discrimination sometimes in the workforce. You know, we're seeing women shot, and again, this horrible, horrible condition where sexual exploitation and sexual trafficking of women and the undervaluing of women is at a all-time high. So we want to talk about that. But I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic, and I'm going to introduce a sister who is so wonderful to join us tonight. And this sister is a known speaker in the city of Houston. Sister Catherine Griffin is her name. And Sister Catherine Griffin, I have opened up your mic. Sister Catherine.
I am here. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sis.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Catherine, thank you so much for joining us, because this is a very important topic, and we can delve right in. And I know that you've spoken in the past about the topic. You've got some real great insight and information. I'm coming from an article June 7th out of the Final Call. It's entitled Not Safe Anywhere, and it's really highlighting missing, murdered black women, girls cannot be ignored anymore. It's written by a brother by the name of Tariq Muhammad, and he brought out how there are some people in the community, a lady by the name of Erica, who's a journalist, and she has started a website where she's kind of taken into her own hands to promote these missing black girls, because she's saying that black women who are missing and murdered aren't getting the type of, you know, promotion and knowledge, and nobody's really valuing them. So that's one of our issues. And, you know, that article, without further ado, I want to go ahead and give you an opportunity to speak, Ms. Griffin, and tell us how do you come to the table on this topic.
Well, let me start off. First of all, thank you all for inviting me. It is such an honor. And I have to say this, because we're talking about truth. Am I correct?
That's right. Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Yes, ma'am. So the black Muslim community, the sisters, ever since I started the first prostitution, sex trafficking rehabilitation program and curriculum, they were the first, let me repeat that, the first to reach out to me to come in and speak to the Muslim young women of the mosque. And they actually got it, and they said, don't hold back. We need to tell our children the truth. So for that, that puts all of my Muslim sisters so far ahead of the game when, unfortunately, not all African-American churches, but they have been unwilling to have this type of conversation, because, first of all, the Bible, and I'm sure I'm not up on everything in the Quran, but it talks about generational curses. And
yes.
Secrets have kept our black community sick, and sick people make other people sick, which leads into hurt people hurting other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, back when I am a lady that God restored to come out of drugs and prostitution, I was in hard, dark life. I'm so grateful for the life. Well, why would you say that, Kathy Griffin? Because had it not been for that mess, I wouldn't be on this talk show giving this message.
That's right.
And the Lord, you know, he let me survive so I could throw the rope back. And when I got into this, you know, it used to just be those prostitutes or those
right.
whores, which they use the three-letter word. Y'all know the word. And
yes, ma'am.
I've taken that one word and I turn it around to HOE, stands for helping others excel. So,
yes.
You know, because I was African-American, ex-drug addict, ex-prostitute, ex-sex trafficking slave victim, ex-incest survivor, ex-child of molestation, the things that I wasn't allowed to talk about, those secrets that kept me sick and people wanted to know, well, she graduated from high school at 16 and started college. How did she end up? The secrets. Until we as a black community are willing to open up and deal with our truth and be willing to have an intelligent conversation on a level that's not disrespectful to our children, our teens, our adults, and our seniors. Because it's so interesting when, if I were to go into a school, you'd have parents to say, oh, she can't talk about those things in here. But yet our children are on TikTok, Instagram, and the only idols that they have to worship are people that twerk, and people that strip, that people say that my body is so beautiful. Bodies look so much more beautiful when they're covered.
Jeez,
because
man,
everything, the element of surprise has been taken out. And parents, especially in our community, we have fallen into the legal slavery trap of looking at vendors who duplicate adult women's clothing, and we think it's cute, so we put it on our babies. And just think about all of the shoe manufacturers with the little high-heel shoes for little kids, and we letting them wear the makeup and all of that. And they getting filthy rich on us while we're exploiting without knowing we're exploiting our kids. We just taking pictures at the beach, at the park, and we're posting our children in their little two-piece bathing suit. We're posting our kids everywhere we go, and then you want to know, how did our children come up missing?
Right.
How? We've got to take ownership for our part in our community if we want to save them. They looked at me and said, well, she doesn't know anything. She was just an ex-prostitute and a drug addict. We're not going to respect her. So I started the whole human trafficking movement, kind of like Harriet Tubman of that movement.
That's right.
And
That's right.
I got absolutely no respect because of my past, how I speak. Which now, don't get me wrong, I can animate the animosities and trickulate the sensibilities, but somebody might not understand that. So I do my best to
That's
keep
right.
it on a second, third, fourth grade level so I don't
Come on
lose
now. Plain language.
The audience. And you have to be able to captivate and hold their attention so they can actually get a message that they can relate to and that is understandable, because everybody doesn't learn by reading a book. Some people
That's
are
right.
auditory. You know, some people have to see examples. You got to be able to reach all of our people, and we've got myths and belief in our African American culture from great great grandma. And even though we choose, pick and choose, we cherry pick which ones are the rules that we want to hold on to. So we got to stop being hypocrites, first of all. And number two, they, those other people, I'm trying to keep this correct.
Yes, ma'am.
They feel that we don't respect ourselves, so why should they put their good dollars out there to look for our children when they're saying we put them out there? Now, imagine that. And I go in those courts, and, well, they doing that because they want to do it. Let me tell you something. Everybody got a secret. Everybody has stuff that they have shoved down for years and years and years. And you want to know why there's so much mental illness, especially with our black boys and girls and men and women and sex trafficking, because they were never allowed to release. If you eat for 3 months and never use the restroom, how you going to feel? So when you finally get to release that, you were like, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
and then you're cleaned out so you can eat some more. So, but if you never release the stuff that's been constipating you spiritually, emotionally, physically, you are going to be severely constipated with trauma. And nobody has allotted people like myself to come in to fund. Now, they're going to fund Karen and Becky, who has never seen what a human trafficking victim really looks like, and they cannot go in the trenches or on the stroll.
Right.
We're just going to hand them some sanitary items and pray for them.
Right,
you know,
right.
And
yes, ma'am.
You can get a job. You can work all day long, and if you ain't got nowhere to lay your head, you're going to eventually quit that job.
Yes, ma'am.
And then
the
feeling comes. So, I mean, I could go on and on, but I don't want to take up
And you know what? And we're definitely going to come back. Could you, like, we like to open and kind of get some round table with it. Everything you're saying is so honest
and on point.
So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
As you're saying, you know, this is a billion-dollar industry. So this is not something that black people are really in that type of control. You know, we can take it back to slavery, and we can take human trafficking back to when we were brought here on the shores, and we were raped, and we were pillaged, and we were worked. And so it's the same, you know, mindset. And I think that's something that Sister Sherry was going to talk about, too. And I just want to throw it out here because the conversation needs to be honest. When you're talking about how we're dressing our children, and we're talking about this pornographic music where we have these prostitute women rapping and rapping like prostitutes and dressing like prostitutes and promoting these images, you know, this is a real problem. And it's a real problem. It's devaluing the black woman, and we have to raise these issues. So I wanted to bring it back to you, Sister Sherry, because you brought up your point about the promiscuous black woman and the stud and how that was a myth, and some legal history on that. So please share that with us, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, interestingly enough, when the paper that I talked about that I was doing in law school, I did that paper in 1991. And at that time, mind you, we're talking 1991, in terms of white men being convicted for the rape of black women, the numbers were minuscule. That's not saying that black women were never raped by white men, but it is saying that society didn't recognize that black women could be raped because of that whole myth of promiscuous black women. And ironically, that was around the time of the Tawana Brawley case. Now, remember, rather than believe that that young sister was raped by these white police officers, rather than believe that, they wanted us to believe that she and her mother were so afraid of her stepfather that they would concoct this story that her mother would take her child out in the park, smear her with animal feces, and leave her waiting for someone to find her. Think
wow.
on that.
Yes,
that's yes. how far-fetched the concept of black women being raped by a white man was. Flip the script. At that time, they hadn't even overturned the convictions of those of the Central Park Five, because they just did that within this past these past 5 years.
That's right.
But at
That's
that
right.
time, remember, those five young boys with none of them, not one of them was their DNA found on this white woman. More importantly, she had, quote unquote, memory loss, couldn't identify not one of them.
Huh.
But because somebody saw them in or near the area, those five young black men were convicted of rape of a white woman.
That's right.
So we have to address that first, how we have been devalued. But then, mm-hmm. you know, the final call, the one dated today, in fact, the article, when we get to the second page of the article, there's a segment that talks about community responsibility. Now, yeah, there's outside accountability, but there's community responsibility. And our sister, I just felt her passion when she
That's
talked
right.
about secrets and hypocrisy. That's a community responsibility. As a community, we have a responsibility to acknowledge that, yes, there's been century-long racism that has played a part, but we have a duty to acknowledge that we have played a part as well.
Yes, ma'am.
And we have a duty and a responsibility to do just what we are doing here, which is to constantly put the word out so that we ourselves won't look down upon some of our young people who don't know any better. You know, that's because that's real. We look at the baby girl in the booty shorts. We turn our nose up. I wonder if anybody ever told her how beautiful she is without revealing her entire body.
That's
without
right,
her,
right.
Her behind hanging out one end and her breast hanging out the other end.
That part. No, you're right. No, that is so beautiful. And like you say, were you saying something else, Sister Sherry?
I was going to say, and that, you know, that brings us all the way up to today when we look at the disparity in treatment of black women, in terms of black women when they're missing, in terms of young black girls, a young black girl that might get picked up and charged with prostitution, the first thought is not that perhaps she's a victim of sex trafficking. I think
wow.
our sister said that people just automatically assume, oh, they doing that because they want to.
Mm-hmm,
never
mm-hmm.
even
That's
investigating
right.
whether that young girl could be a victim of sex trafficking.
Yes,
even
ma'am.
If it might be her brother or her uncle that's trafficking her.
That's
She's
right.
still being trafficked. So I'm going to let somebody else speak because I'll get passionate.
Can I say
too,
one thing real quick? No, go right ahead. Sure, Miss Griffin, go ahead.
When I was in the light, what happened to most of us African-American sex industry workers, the police would pull up on us and tell us if we didn't do X, Y, and Z, then they were going to take us to jail. And if we tried to tell on them, who were they going to believe? A black crackhead prostitute or them? From way back in my day to present, and I've seen over a million clients in the past 18 and a half years. And it would blow you away to see how many of us were propositioned. And then even if we had to do it, they turn around and still took us to jail. Not my Caucasian clients. I'm just telling you. We have been so disrespected, and some of them for the lack of knowing and understanding and true education of whose people we are and who we really are to ourselves. And then we've got to stop hating on each other.
Right.
We
right.
put each other down, especially the women that are in the light, because that's so much brokenness. But things can be, you know, I kind of don't like to say broken. I'd rather look at it as just bruised. And that's where this show and people like us can help mend the bruises, to help strengthen the structure, the spiritual skeleton that will hold us together, that took all of us, including our slave ancestors, through all of that pain and suffering and disrespect, and brought us to like where I am today. I work in law enforcement. Now, only God could have took me, a felon, and put three police badges on. Who do that? God. And I have been able to actually see that recovery from whatever it is possible. But recovery is not for people who need it. It only works for people who really want it. But you have to educate and show individuals who have not been exposed to the truth that recovery is possible. So they need mentors that have been there, done that, to come step up and be sheroes instead of the twerkers and the strippers. And don't get me wrong, I love our professional black athletes, but there are others, great educators, believe it or not, who have been through their own trials and tribulations. Just because they got a St. John suit on, even the ones that have their heads covered, everybody has been through something.
That's right.
Everybody. We've just got to find that key that unlocks the closed mind and get them open to hear the truth about each other and who we are. We are the prize. We are. White folks have been trying to look like us forever. Now they wearing braids.
Right.
They wearing a kinky
right.
hat. Come on, getting tans, getting cancer, trying to look like us. I'm just saying. I just needed to say that.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful. Sister Judge Michelle, did you want to make a comment? And I know you brought up your opening remarks. So where?
Wow.
Please.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, so much has been said. Very beautiful. Starting from the beginning of when we were brought here forcibly by that wicked people, the devaluing of who we were, women in particular. And so we are not responsible for what happened when we got here. And there has been a systematic thing that happened from the time we came here as slaves. Through everything we've gone through, where we were devalued, black women, and we know what it is, right? You watch the movie The Help and everything, and even though we came out, we still looked at it as just the slaves or the people that work in the house. We clean up, and nobody regards us for anything. We just work horses, if you will. And so that mindset was there. And then tap right into that or put on top of that the false teachings that apparently Jesus and all of the prophets were white people. They were not mm-hmm. black, and certainly not a black woman. And you further exacerbate the mental cruelty and the sickness that Sister Griffin talked about that was implanted in us from the time we came here as slaves. And so we came here, and that's why the Nation of Islam and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad were so wonderful and are so wonderful, because it understood the sickness that was implanted in us. And talking specifically about the black women, the devaluing us and not thinking that we're worth anything. And this is a program that said, no, you are the best and the most powerful. That the woman is a co-creator with God. That the black woman is the mother of civilization. Doggone it, did you know it? Did you know the melanin that you have in your skin makes you superior in certain ways to people that don't have it? And so this right. was a process of building up, that there's no such thing as a no good woman. We're taught in the Nation of Islam. And if there is a no good woman, she was made that way by a no good man, forcing That's us right. to understand that the essence of the little black girl is beautiful. And it would always be beautiful unless somebody tampered with her, which is what happened. And so the teachings that we have in the Nation of Islam really take away all of that and starts to open up the eyes, the ears, and the hearts to something different as to who we are, and making us understand that we're not that woman that has to be devalued. We are the woman. The black woman is the co-creator with God. From us comes everyone in this civilization. And so it's so important that these teachings are ingrained in whatever we do. And so as a judge where I am, daily I try to reinforce that feeling to let the black woman and all black people, for that matter, and litigants that come into my courtroom and people that are there, make them feel like we're not these worthless people. We are very valuable, and in fact, the most valuable. Let them know that God said the bottom rail will be the top rail. I thought of Sister Griffin when I watched a movie called a documentary entitled Unseen. Not sure if my sister saw it, but it was a documentary on this brother, Anthony Solo, who was killing these women in Cleveland, and no one cared because they were drug addicts, crackheads, and other things. And the documentary goes through great pains to show how these women were targeted and no one cared that they were missing. And finally, it was found out what was happening, and finally people jumped in and said, my God, these women were murdered and missing, and no one cared because they were black wow. females, and on top of that, drug addicts and crackheads. So if anyone has an opportunity, you want to watch that documentary, Unseen. It's a wide, it opens your eyes to everything. You know, Sister Griffin talked about this fashion, about how we dress our babies. Another thing the nation talks about, modest dress. From the time we come into the nation, you're taught about covering your body, not in a horrible way, but in a very beautiful way, so that you feel good in your clothing. And so we try to teach our daughters and our mothers and aunts and everyone that that clothing that this man is trying to dress you in is not really good, right? And it perpetuates what it will make people feel like you are asking for attention and you're going to get it and you don't really want it. So we're clear about that. And in fact, coming up in Chicago at the end of this month is a modest wear week that apparently Sister Carmen, member of the Nation of Islam, is hosting. It's supposed to be a big deal, but Sister Griffin and anyone else that's listening, this is going to be a modest dress code week where we feature the clothing of modest dress. And I mean, this stuff is fabulous. I
go out
my uniform sometimes.
It's going to be a whole fashion show, Sister Nichelle. It's going to be a whole weekend of fashion shows with modest designers also.
Yes.
And
all over the world.
I was so enthused when I saw that, because these designers are from all over the world. And you know, people think that it's only Muslims. We have all praises due to Allah. We have set an example.
That's right.
And allowed the world to know that modesty and ugly are not synonymous.
Praise God, that's
in
right.
In fact, the synonym for modesty is beauty, and it's the garments
come
are
on.
Beautiful. But Sister Nichelle, you got me on that track because I was so excited when I saw the flyer
that's
for
right.
that.
And I'm
but I
say,
wanted to go
right.
back
Can
to
I say
what
real,
you were.
No. Go right
that's
ahead.
That's right. The
no,
point
right
is,
ahead,
yes, ma'am. Go ahead, sister. What I was saying is the point is that in the Nation of Islam is that message that will be helpful to all women, black women in particular also, about how we value ourselves, getting rid of that sick mind that Sister Griffin talked about, that we're nothing, and making us know that we are great, we are everything, and we deserve not to be murdered and forgotten, not to be sex trafficked and forgotten because we think we're worthless. We deal with educating and going into the spirit of women and making them understand who they are, who God made them, and that they can dress beautifully and be respected. And I think that's part of the issue here. We have to save our girls. The sex trafficking and the things that we allow ourselves to be brought into, one, sometimes it's just the snare in the system. And if we are positive about who we are and we're being taught that we are valuable, that we are special, that we are worthy, every time you get a chance from the time you're a little girl growing up into a womanhood, that would help to detract from the attractiveness of being out there or being able to be victims to people that exploit us, use our bodies, and murder us. And so it needs to be a renewing of the mind of who we are and how beautiful God has made us and that we are special, that we are important. And so I think, you know, there's been a lot done in the state of New York very quickly on this whole sex trafficking thing. Recently, the state of New York passed $150 billion legislation to target sex trafficking. In addition to that, in the court system, we have sex trafficking court because, like Sister Griffin said, you know, it used to be, oh, they're just a prostitute, they're just whatever. No, we're being trained in the judicial system to know that prostitution is probably more likely than not sex trafficking. And this woman is being victimized, and you're looking at her like she's just selling sex, but that's not what it is. They're being forced into it. So the courts in the state of New York, and I'm sure all over the country, are recognizing that it's not just prostitution. These people are being sex trafficked, and we must help them. And we get into it, and we've been helping them. We have special courts just for that. So all praise is due to Allah. And, you know, sisters, if there's any more questions, I'd love to answer, but let's talk more. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know,
also, I want to bring this important issue up. A lot of our black trafficked women are now, after being groomed, they're literally, the men are forcing them to become the pimps, and they are recruiting the other young girls, and
yes,
they are the ones getting charged with pimping and pandering minors, and they're taking the charges while the true villain walks away with all the money. And the girls, I have the only rehabilitation program for sex industry workers in any prison, I think in the United States, maybe in the world, called Our Roadway to Freedom. And when I tell you how many of those women are in there with pimping charges, sex trafficking charges, but they were forced into it. Their families have been threatened. And then there's another part, our black men, it's very rare that you find a Muslim black male who is a part of any of that. Now, our other black male, this is a curse that's gone back for a very long time because nobody deprogrammed our ancestors. A lot of those men watched white men rape girls and their wives and their children and beat them and abuse them and hurt other people. So they were not, you know, for us to have familial sexual abuse and trafficking in our community is a major travesty, because no way should we be hurting each other and keeping those secrets, how our family members have sexually molested their own family members, our cousins, our nieces, our grandchildren, our children.
And let me jump in there, Sister Griffin.
Yeah. Go
let
right
me
ahead.
Say this very quickly.
Yes, ma'am.
In the nation, also part of our teachings, we are taught not to leave our black girl babies nowhere with nobody, not even uncles and brothers and different things, because we're clear about what happens when young girls are around. And so we always are taught to keep a nice distance, not incredibly so, not ridiculously so, but we're always mindful of those baby girls and how they've got to be taken care of and sheltered, even around their own family members in a circle. And you're right, and that is what has happened historically with female children, and probably male children too, for that matter, but certainly the females. And so we do a lot of teaching on that from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We keep our babies separate, and we do certain things with the girls to make sure they are protected, and that
right.
is so key as well.
Yeah,
but
all
you know, the churches would open up to that.
Is that Sister Sherry?
That
I know you've been trying to get in. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I was that deprogramming that Sister Griffin talks about. It is so very important, and I watch a lot of the politics and all of that that's constantly on. We have to be as vigilant about continuing the deprogramming and the education of our own as they are about trying to make sure that true history is not being taught.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the big
story.
Fight that all
yes,
these
ma'am.
Republicans are in about what's in the textbooks? You know, when people ask me what I think about it, I tell them I think that we are responsible for teaching our own. So I don't care what they put in a textbook in a school. I have my child at home first. I am the first teacher. So that deep, but we have to be as vigilant about it. One, I'm stepping back for a minute. We were talking about what the things that were programmed in us through slavery. Let's look at how those concepts are reinforced. When they did the, when black people were like, oh, yeah, all these people that wanted to be related, all these black people that wanted to be related and descendants of Thomas Jefferson, right?
Right.
You're a descendant of a rapist. He raped
That's
a 13-year-old
right.
girl. And I don't care how they try to play it. They called it, what did they call it? They tried to make it the seduction of Thomas Jefferson. That's what they, the documentary, that's what they called it. That the somebody's, what is her name? I'm sorry.
Sally Hemings, I think, is the
right.
young
Sally,
lady that he raped.
I'm researching. Mm-hmm. The document is called Sally Hemings, The Seduction of Thomas Jefferson. So you're telling me a 13-year-old black girl seduced a 40-some-year-old. He was in his
right.
40s. Had adult white daughters at that time.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
But that he
yeah.
was so-called seduced.
Right, and that's
by
just a lie.
Girl.
It's just a travesty that they
see,
lie. That's, yeah, child pornography.
But it's a part of the perpetuation of the myth
That's
of
right.
the over-sexualized black woman.
Beep.
And so that's why when black women are caught up in sex trafficking or sex crimes or even become victims, society has managed to dehumanize that because there's still this deep-seated perpetuation of the black woman as some hyper-sexualized being. And this is why
okay.
we have to take accountability and responsibility for teaching and training our own. So this is why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad dedicated a whole chapter to it in Message to the Black Man, respect and protect the black woman.
That's right. That's right.
But it's, you know, we have to, as a community, we have to take that accountability and not be afraid recognize those factors in society that perpetuate those myths. I like, Sister Nichelle, the things that the state of New York is doing. One of the things that we are doing in Maryland, and especially with the Department of Juvenile Services, we are cross-referencing young people that come into the juvenile system for sex crimes. We are cross-referencing to check them against runaways, against, you know.
Oh, beautiful.
Reports of runaways or missing black children. It is excellent. So sad, you know, when I taught in the when I taught in the public school system, and I taught my young people, I asked my young girls, what did they think about sex trafficking, and did they think they could ever be a victim? And of course, all of them said, oh no. So I asked them to give me their phone. Then I asked them to, if they didn't have a phone and they were in trouble, who could they call? Did they have any numbers committed to memory? Most of them didn't. You know why? Because they just scrolled through their contacts and dialed somebody, right? So then you wonder, how could a child, I'm in Maryland, so we call it the DMV, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. Not that far. So how could a child, say for instance, even in Baltimore, end up sex trafficked in D.C., which is only a 45-minute drive away? Because they don't know their way around. They don't know how to operate a telephone. They don't know how to make a collect phone call. And it wouldn't matter if they did, because they have not committed any phone numbers to memory of somebody they could call once the trafficker takes their phone. And that is how most of them get got.
Wow.
They hang out.
Can I tell you one other method?
That's a great point. That is such a great point. And before you do that, sis, I want to tell everyone who's listening, if you have a question or a comment, please press the number 1 to get into the host queue. Any questions or comments, please press the number 1 to get into the host queue. Because as you're saying, let's not get it twisted. We, on this show, A Time for Justice, we're saying that black women are at a heightened level of being targeted. And by no means do we believe that this type of filth and degeneracy and savage behavior that's being pushed on us and our girls, this is not coming from us. We haven't heard lessons. Why does the devil keep our people apart from his social equality? And that's because he doesn't want us to know how filthy he
is
and all
is
his affairs.
That's all. That's
yeah,
right.
So this did not come from us. You know, and this is another thing, and I just want to say, this is why the resurrection of the dead, when we are being raised from these levels of knowing, I don't have to show my body, I am loved, you know, this is not how you get love and acceptance, which is what they say makes people vulnerable to sex trafficking sometimes. And I just want to throw it out there, that's one of the reasons why we have self-improvement and study guides, because we're all striving to, you know, to get better and to come out of this.
That's
but
right.
Black women are under major attack right now, and I just have to say also, again, there's an attack to try to separate us from our husbands and black men and black families. And we have to stand up and make our voices heard. So that's what we're trying to do tonight. So, again, if anybody has a question or a comment, please press the number one to get into the host queue. Thank you.
I want to say there's another attack on our black-on-black children. In these schools, starting in elementary, middle school especially, our children that are being bullied by girls their own color. The new thing is to befriend instead of making fun of that child that's overweight or might have special needs or has the thick glasses or might be a chocolate, dark, beautiful skin tone. And they might not such a bougie background, where some of our black children come from upper and upper middle class and higher up. They now befriend the children that they would bully and make them think that they're their friends, and then they lure them and groom them, and now they've been forced into sex trafficking. It's got to stop.
No, that is horrible.
I know
horrible.
Some of our children want to be friends, but this is what I deal with. The youngest black child I've taken off the strip pole here in Houston, Texas, was 9 years old.
Nine.
Wow.
And this has got to stop. If Becky or Karen was on the strip pole, that'd be all over CNN and MSNBC and everybody.
Yeah.
No.
And you brought up a great point. I got to jump in here, I guess, before we take this caller. One of the things we're talking about as solutions is women coming together and women mentoring women. You know how when we were growing up, there may be that older female who would be a mentor to you and give you some help. We've got to intervene in some of these children's inability to play fair. All this bullying where parents are standing back and letting their children bully, not teaching and training children how to love each other, how to be fair. We got to jump into this. This is not something, this is not how it's done. You know, you don't let children just wrongfully, as Ms. Griffin is describing, you know, do this type of behavior under the, oh, well, they just children, let the children play. No, the children have to be taught and trained. These are our children. So we've got to get in here and start mentoring our children, mentoring our girls.
And we've got to start mentoring some of the parents who were never taught either.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Speak on that. You're right about that. We're going to take
a
call real quick. We have Sister Ula. She has a comment. Sister Ula. Sister Ula has been patient.
I have a comment because I am a survivor of a 10-year domestic violence relationship. Allah blessed me to come out of it, and I didn't think I was going to survive, but he blessed me to see it. And some of my counselors say that I always am instrumental in helping others. If Allah blessed me to get out of it, then I see others in it. I have helped them to go to other cities when they felt threatened. I have done many things that Allah blessed me to do for women who have been up under this duress. It's not a pleasant thing. Yes, ma'am, it's not a pleasant thing, and it could be fatal. If Allah had not been with me, I would not be here now. And so when I listen to the sister that is talking, and it just inspires me to do more. Because I'm going to share something with you, and then I'm going to get off because I know others have to come on. I'm coming down the street, and I see a girl homeless on the corner. I called a friend and asked them if she was still there. I was going to go down there. I had called the shelter, and I was going to go down there and give her some cash and call Lyft to take her to the shelter. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to access that sister. But the key is that I found when I called shelters, they don't have anything in place to take these girls and bring them to a shelter when they're out there like that. If they're Yeah, if they're mistreated in the shelter, because I talked to one last week.
Oh, true.
Then if they're mistreated and they get a little angry, they throw those women out in the street. The black woman is really, the black woman is really at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to the respect she should be given. Thank you for letting me share.
Wa'alaikum Salaam, ma'am. Thank you for that.
You know, they have more beds for dogs and cats than they do our babies in shelters and our black women. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then the people that, a lot of them that work there, they're untrained. They don't have any trauma care experience. And if they make one mistake, they put them out. If they were fixed, they wouldn't need to be there. We have to retrain, deprogram, and give them good, positive, visual examples so that, and give them, it doesn't just happen, you know, how many days have we all hurt? Not, if you can tell me the number of days to the we have hurt since you've been alive, you can't give me that number. So you can't put a number on how many days it's going to take to heal. But we got to start somewhere.
Yes, ma'am. And if I wanted to interject, because earlier the sisters were mentioning the fashion week that is coming up, because, see, this is a part of making our own communities decent and safe places to live, because that is one of our theories. You know, we follow the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we know that separation is really the only solution. And a lot of times, you know, building, Sister Griffin, you see us in the community, you know, where we're taking care of our own. And so with the Fashion Week, I wanted to put it out there, Sister Ava Muhammad, who is the Elevated Places Network owner, she is actually going to have that show on Thursday where they're going to dedicate the whole show to the Sister Carmen Muhammad, who is over the Fashion Week and one of the major designers. And I think even when we talk about what we're talking about, you know, making these Caucasian non-for-profit, these money-driven non-for-profits treat our people right is a job that, you know, hey, we've been working on this for the last 400 years. And so I think one of our things, too, is teaching people to have better relationships, you know, make better choices, be better parents, and giving those parents and skills at these community centers that are better, you know. More women need to maybe get married earlier to, you know, choosing your spouses, you know, and not being, you know, out there, because it is a mind of protection, and this is what we do have control over. But we got to teach it, because as you said, and I'm throwing it out there, but I just get so angry, all this materialism that's being promoted, when you talk about the children who have something, what, some broke parents, you know, some broke parents who are, you know, supporting this materialism, which is not about anything of value and godliness necessarily. And so they're preying on the poor children in the community. And all this is coming from the TV. All of this is coming from the little housewives of some crazy foolishness, you know, but the children. So I just had to throw that out there. And again, if anybody has a question or a comment, please get in the host queue, because we want to go to the solutions part of this and protecting the black female and listening to this wonderful group of panelists who have so much knowledge they're bringing to the table. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And I just wanted to say, if I can, Sister Griffin, really quickly, beloved, I wanted to say that during this time of COVID, you know, spiritually, we were really looking at this as being a time that God is telling us to come into our homes and seek shelter. And part of that is that, you know, and it works, right? Because during that time, everybody had to come home. Nobody could be in college. They had to be in their house with their family. And there's something to say for that. You know, God does what he things needs to happen for a reason. There's a reason why we had to come back to home base and be in our homes and learn to love what's in here and separate ourselves for the world for a time being so that we could see what it is and how beautiful a time it was, although they said there was a more increased domestic issues where there were violence and some other things. In the wise home, in the well taught home, okay, where we understood what God is doing and what he was doing and what he is doing, that was a time for coming in and saying that, you know what, I really don't need all that stuff that's out there. I'm eating a healthy meal. I'm here having beautiful conversation. This is part of what God says when he says shelter in until the indignation passes, right? Because everything that's out there in the world that we exist in is very negative. And so yeah. I'm hopeful that families took the time to bring their young people in, their young black girls in, to focus on something other than what's out there and all that negativity. And even though it's being seen as a very bad time, Allah knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. And I have to say this. I watched my own adult children. I mean,
Sister Michelle, you went out a bit.
Can you hear me now?
Michelle. We can.
Yeah,
now.
Can you hear me? Okay. What I was saying is that I had the opportunity to have my four home because of what happened with COVID, and it was a beautiful time of reflection and getting into their minds and letting them see that you don't have to be out there to have a good time. There's beauty in praying. There's beauty in positive conversation. And even though we may get into it just a little bit, time with God allowed us inside for a minute. And that's what Sister Pamela was talking about, that separation, right? Certainly if it's not going to be a physical separation per se, it definitely has to be a separation of the mind. What this world thinks is right, and coming in and knowing that what's right is not what we're experiencing, that black women are nothing, that murdering of black women is okay, that sex trafficking is okay. Posing and making yourself a target, it's not okay. That thinking that you're less than when you're more than that, it's not okay. And so we have to use this time that God, and we know it's here, the time is the manifestation of time, as we're taught, that this is those days that are talked about. And now's the time to grab every one of our people, the youth, our black girls, our black men, and anybody else that would hear this word, to come in and get out of the separation, out of that mindset of what's fair-seeming, all the evil that's done, that you can even devalue and not even look for a black woman who's missing or who's been murdered. It's crazy. So I just wanted to share that, sister. Thank you for allowing me to share.
And I am on fire right now for something. When you talked about the fashion show, we are in Houston, unfortunately, number one in sex trafficking, and especially in missing black women, women in general. What better city to sister host one of those right here to cover up classy? Oh, my God, my mind is like bouncing all over the place. And, this isn't a time to silo. This is something that we need to take nationally and challenge other cities to introduce this class, this cover-up, taking back being real queens, being real black royalty. Oh, that's my God, I want to do that so bad down here.
That's
phenomenal.
The sponsoring organization is Women Working Together Incorporated. Sister Michelle, Sister Pamela, if you send me Sister Griffin's information, I will email her or send her the link for the information, and maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. That would be wonderful if not just Houston, but major cities throughout could take on a project like this and let it go hand in hand with the mentoring of our young women. When you said cover-up, you know, we usually think of a cover-up as somebody trying to hide something that they've done that was wrong.
Right.
But we're going to make this a new cover-up.
Right.
That's right.
So
I
feel your passion, sister. I feel your passion. It would absolutely be something phenomenal.
Yes,
wonderful.
Ma'am.
And we got to remember our black girls. Please, y'all.
That's right.
Our black girls are not only used for sexual exploitation, but a lot of our missing black girls are used for the number one organ that is harvested and trafficked all over the world. Do you know what that organ is?
What is that?
Take a guess.
Is that kidneys or liver?
No, give me another one.
The
heart?
I won't make you guess any longer. Skin.
Because
we have so many.
Melanin, we talked about that.
Right, and especially countries that are in war are severe burns. And the interesting thing is, who's trained? Remember, we're talking about billions of dollars of industry money here. Who are the trained professionals that know how to remove the skin, store the skin, transport the skin, and replace the skin? Now, who would those individuals be? If you look at the average doctor, they make $200,000 a year. So how are some of them billionaires? I'm just saying. But see, that's box. That's opening the Pandora's box. But I'm going to call it out.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Depopulation.
And that means not only our children, but they can come after us, adults, for our skin. Yeah.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I just needed to throw that. They're not going to tell you that on the television.
Yes,
they're not
going to
tell you that in there a little neatly. Anyway.
Another.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to take a caller. We have caller Sister Twyla. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Twyla. All right, your mic is open.
Yes. Thank you, Malaikum Salam. It's good to be here. And I just had a few. Thank you so much. I know that there have been several different bills that have been put out there. And one particular one was one of the House bills that came out, and it was called Protect Black Women and Girls Act of 2020. Now, that started off with all of the human trafficking and different things like that. So specifically, people were talking about black women and girls. And that act came about in 2020 because, if you remember, there were several incidents, even in Houston, where people were, the women thought they were getting Uber rides or different things like that, and people were snatching grown women off the street and selling them into prostitution. It wasn't just about even younger children. These were, adult women. And some of them escaped and got away, and it was on the news and different things like that. And I'm just wondering, with some of those laws and bills that have been introduced into the House, that was September 11th, 2020. What has come about those different acts for right now? Because that was a task force that was set up that was supposed to be covering issues involving black women and girls. It was supposed to be all-inclusive, education, economic development, health care, justice, and civil rights, housing, all types of things. But when it comes down to it, where is the evidence? Where is
you
the,
remember,
the success?
You, Sister Twyla, you remember Education Rock?
Yes.
I'm just a bill sitting on Capitol Hill waiting.
You
that,
yes.
That bill's still sitting on Capitol Hill waiting. That's where that is still sitting. As you said it, I Googled it, and it has not been passed into law yet.
So it's still sitting there.
Right.
You know, that's part of the issue that I continue to see is that I personally feel that all these bills are introduced as a way to pacify black people, that something is being done and everybody's so excited and happy about it, but then in the end, the bill goes to the place that bills go to die. And we haven't seen anything happening with these bills. And so I wanted to know from our lawyers, how can we find ways to, you know, advocate for some of these bills, get behind these bills, some of these policies that are being made? How can we effectively lobby for ourselves? So because
go stand on the front
change,
door of
we are really having problems. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said we should.
Right.
First of all, that's the first I even heard of the bill. Number two, had I known it even was out there, I'd be at everybody's front door, from Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, our state legislators, all these human trafficking rights people that probably have never seen a survivor in there. If they saw one, they would run like they got gasoline draws on in hell. It's time for me to wait, knock on some doors, and I'm ready to get activated because I didn't know, but I know now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for that, Sister Twyla. And I'm going to, if anyone else has any comment on her question. And
Well, really quickly, you know, when you talk about Congress and those bills, you're talking about a federal movement. So what happens is the federal does their thing, and then the states have the right to do their own thing as well. And so sometimes it's a matter of being active in the state that we're in. Even though we want the federal to do what they do, the state politics, we probably have our hands on a little bit more. For instance, for New York State, right, those brothers and sisters up in Albany, and there's quite a few of them. In fact, the leader of the House in the state of New York is a black woman by the name of Andrea's cousin. And they put forth their own legislation, if you will, a $150 billion to bring some stuff together, and part of that was several bills, and these are state things now, not looking at what the federalities are doing, but the state, they have an anti-trafficking airport resource where they actually go to the airports and require certain things. They have an anti-trafficking port authority resource where they go to the various bus stations. You know, in New York, we got the buses coming in from all over, taking people places. They got the spot and stop trafficking training. This is a bill that was sponsored by, and these are local brothers and sisters in that particular group, and they're doing things. And it requires that with alcohol training awareness program, it requires that such training actually have in it something to do with human trafficking, so that as they get to these people that are training for alcohol, they do that. They got the state contractor anti-trafficking accountability, where they make these contractors who are moving things from state to state with of preventing human trafficking. They have an act to promote trafficking victim resources, which is sponsored by our brother, Senator Jamal Bailey, a black brother, which promotes the education of human trafficking information and referral hotlines to assist people. So he's requiring that in all these establishments, there are signs up. You know how they have the wage signs? Well, he's requiring that in all of these places, the places where you buy alcohol and this, that, that they have signs that talk about trafficking and numbers to call if you are being trafficked and how to get help. So on a local level, and to the extent that we have contacts and persuasion with our people and the bodies that have the responsibility of passing these laws, we can do it on a state-by-state basis. It's a little easier. We can we can touch them. And usually we all know somebody in those bodies. I know a lot of these brothers and sisters, and they are active, and they're doing it. I mean, they've done so much legislation here in the state of New York that are beneficial to people in general and black people as well in particular, but also people in general. So I would say, sister, if we can't attack it on the federal level, get in wherever your state is, and there you can see and touch those folks, and you can get some real stuff going on like we're doing here in New York.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And I think grassroots is always a big issue. You know, whereas we know these problems, then we can actually – go into the communities and fill in some of these gaps, you know, so we don't have to wait for the state or the government, you know, to actually do what they may not have the desire to do, especially for Black people. But it's an all in both, I think. It's an and in both. So I want to go ahead and open up the mic for Sister Marguerite. I know she had a question or a comment. Sister Marguerite, your mic is open. Sister Marguerite? I don't know if she's still. Okay, I'm not sure. Yeah. So, yeah, no, this has been a really great conversation because, again, we're talking about uplifting and protecting Black females and the laws. Because, Sister Nichelle, two things. You are seeing evictions, I think, in your court. And we know, as you said, during the pandemic evictions, there was a moratorium. But now those moratoriums are up. And so we know a lot of times single moms and different people, are they going to now be looking at increased evictions and just people in general? And then I think for you, Sister Sherry, I wanted you to touch on, if you could, this issue about, you know, is there some sex discrimination? I know you do some EEO work. You know, women, our voices need to be heard. Even in the study guide, it talks about how development. So we have to come together as women to make sure our voices are heard and join with our men so we can get these things done. So anybody want to, Sister Nichelle, you have any comment on that eviction issue? What can we expect?
Well, we got it going on. Certainly in New York City, it's a little worse than where I'm at. I can tell you that we give a lot of help to people almost to the fault, you know, because these folks just are not paying. But I haven't seen the mass evictions where I am, which is Westchester County. Certainly the city, the Bronx, the Brooklyn, those places are seeing a lot of that. But where we're at, we don't see as many because, you know, we don't have as many cases, first of all. And second of all, we have a trough of money. There's the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, which is called ERAP, which is helping a lot of the tenants get that back rent. I mean, I've seen them pay, and that's federal money, as a matter of fact. But I've seen them pay $30,000 in back rent for people. And when the landlords accept that money, they are basically advised or told that they cannot bring another proceeding for a holdover, certain types of cases after they accept the money. So this is the way they've been trying to combat the mass exodus of people being put in the street. So I have to tell you honestly, it hasn't been so bad where I'm at because we also have a safety net in social services, which, you know, they knew that there would be people that needed some additional monies because the federal people didn't cover all of it, or people that need housing, and they're on it. Again, Westchester County, we're very small. We're not as big as Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and so it's not so bad where we're at. So you won't find a lot of Black women and their children on the street. And in fact, sometimes social services want them to be able to go into a shelter for a minute so that they can get them top-notch, up at the top of the list to get aid to now move into a different home. And I've seen that where they voluntarily that, listen, no judge, I want to get the letter so that, you know, DSS can help me to find another place anyway. And so I've seen a few of those with some Black women and children, but nothing too terrible right now out of Westchester County.
Okay, yes, ma'am. You know, and I think this issue about we've been disconnected, and if we have resources where we can come together and have information for women and for each other, because we also know, though, that we've been warned with famine, you know, on the horizon. We've got this baby formula issue where we've really had to push breastfeeding amongst our sisters and raising that value. Yeah. So we, you know, we got to use this time to try to become more connected to the community. And like Sister Griffin is saying, let's get out in the community and raise our sisters, you know, values of ourselves. And so, Sister Sherry, did you want to give us any idea of you know, the legal input? I brought up about, you know, sex discrimination in the workforce. And, you know, sometimes that does affect us with the lower. Yes, ma'am.
It does. It affects us in so many different ways. And discrimination has taken on a very covert nature these days. So it's not overt, but when we look at the conditions that affect women and then affect Black women disproportionately, that then affect job stability, child care, okay? You need, you know, if you have children of a certain age, you need child care to be able to work. That becomes an issue with regard to time and attendance on the job. How does an employer look at that? So it doesn't look like discrimination on its face. On its face, it looks like, oh, you got time and attendance issue. But you have a child care issue that's related to perhaps being a single mother or being an impoverished young Black woman. So absolutely, discrimination, it's still a real issue. It's just taken on so many different nuances. It's not always something that can be, you can put your finger on it and say, hey, that's because of this person's race, or it's because of their age, or it's because of their gender. It's about the conditions that disproportionately affect young Black women in the workforce and how those conditions then impact their job stability, their ability to obtain and retain employment.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful. And I think it's important, so when, you know, to marginalize our people coming through the media, there's a push to, you know, bring all this filth and degeneracy and make our value of ourselves go down. That's what I think I see coming through the media. And so we have to be, you know, make sure we're listening and being not so quick to look down upon, you know, some of our people and ourselves and come together as women. That's one of the things I'm seeing. And, you know, again, uplifting Black male and female relationships, I think, is so important in this time for us valuing ourselves.
Yeah.
So we're not out here people prostituting and being subjected to this enemy's wicked plan. So Sister Griffin, thank you so much for joining us, and we got about 1 minute. If you wanted to just say like 30 seconds, we got 30 seconds, and then I will close out. Yes, ma'am.
I want us to start empowering our children to stop looking for the man, to find the man that's the doctor, the judge, the lawyer, the soldier, the officer, the oil man, but for our young Black women to become the doctor, the lawyer, the things that they never thought that they could. We have to get our children reignited, or for the first time ignited, and motivate them, because, like I say, they are the seed and the queens, and I just need help. And I want to push this across the state lines. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come on and speak freely. This is awesome.
Okay.
And
thank
you all can contact me at any time.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And I have your number. And I would like to thank Sister Nichelle Muhammad. I would like to thank Sister Sherry Muhammad. both attorneys. Sister Michelle's a judge. I would like to thank the listeners for listening to A Time for Justice. I would like to thank the Elevated Places team. Of course, my producer, Sister Samaya. I'd like to thank Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad and encourage everyone to listen to Ask Dr. Ava, and that comes on Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, because the show this week will focus on that fashion show, that fabulous, fabulous fashion show.
Yes.
Thank you all for listening, and tune in next week on Tuesday. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
Have a beautiful night.
There are my number.
Yes, ma'am, sister, I'm going to send you a text.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.